Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, made a desperate plea on Sunday. More aid is needed for Venezuelan refugees. He said, quote, "This is really one of the most underfunded humanitarian appeals in the world for one of the biggest crises," end quote. The refugee crisis hits very close to home in Miami, especially for 18-year-old ballet dancer Mylin Rodriguez. Mylin escaped Venezuela with her family 3 years ago. Because of ballet connections between Venezuela and South Florida, she received a scholarship to continue dancing with the Arts Ballet Theater of Florida in North Miami Beach. Ruby Romero Isaev is the executive director of the Arts Ballet Theater. She and her husband also came to the U.S. from Venezuela over 20 years ago. Now, we spoke with Mylin and Ruby last week about the challenges that dancers face when they come to the U.S. and the prospect of reuniting with families. Mylin, I want to start with you. Tell me about when you started to see your friends leave Venezuela. You told me there were goodbye parties that you started to attend.
Yes. Probably 2 years, maybe 3 years before I came in. I had one of my best friends. She had to move. She actually is here in the United States. I think she was like the first one that I noticed that, you know, something is going on, like people are leaving, that like this is actually happening. There was like a lot of feelings at the moment because they were leaving, but at the same time, I couldn't understand because I was like, we can still stay here, you know, it's not that bad at the moment. But 2 years later, it was like for 1 month, I had like at least two or three goodbye parties. Everyone was leaving like in the matter of like a month or two. It was crazy. Like my class, it was about 30 students at the moment. And when I left, there was only 17.
Tell me when you and your family decided it's time for you to get out.
That was a decision that we made in 1 week, actually.
1 week?
Yes.
Okay. What happened? How did that go?
We had like a bad experience. And after that, my dad just said everyone down in the table and we said, listen, we cannot stay here anymore. We have to figure it out. What are we going to do? And what I said was, if you want us out of the country, that has to be in this month. Because if you let me start school right now, it's my last year. I'm not gonna leave. Like, it's going to be even worse for me. So my mom just kind of like called some people and started to like get info. And 3 days, my mom was like, okay, we had the tickets. We're leaving next Monday. And that was it.
And the tickets were for here in Miami.
Yes.
Ruby, you hear stories like this.
Yeah,
a lot of the time. I mean, for you, what does that do to you?
You know, it's hard because I left before all these collapse, you know, began. And
you left Venezuela over 20 years ago before even Chavez showed up.
Correct. So it's through stories that you learn what it really happens. And through these children who, you know, in a way, like I hear Mylin telling her story at the beginning, she's very protected. All the parents protect them so much. They don't let them see the reality of what's going on there.
Yeah.
They just take them to school, come back to school, and that's it. But when you hear the real stories behind all these children, it's terrifying. You know, it's inhuman for what they're going through. So what happens is, what, like Mylin said, her teacher contacts us. And, you know, I have a student.
Her teacher back in Minnesota.
Ballet teacher.
Yes.
Ballet
yes.
teacher, yeah.
To come to the U.S., do you think? And we said, well, there's a summer program starting right now. And that's when she started. Isn't what, like a week later when she started with us, that I learned that she was living in a hotel with her family. So it was pretty difficult.
First of all, I mean, yeah, Mylin, I mean, so it was your ballet teacher who told you about this school here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's how you knew to get to Miami. So you
Correct.
Had this opportunity. Okay, so you arrive. What's it like those first few months? And she said you guys are living in a hotel.
Yes, I was for probably like a month. The first day that I came in, I actually came in on the 4th of July. Everywhere was like a party, you know? And the next day I started with the summer intensive program. So I was the whole day in the ballet, during the other classes, in the intensive. I didn't have, like, the time to think about it, like, what was going on? Like, what happened? You know, I'm here. I'm not going back. I just like blocked that part of my mind, and I just went every day to dance, and that's it.
Ruby, when did you start bringing in kids like Mylen? Because again, the problems in Venezuela have been happening for many years, have gotten worse these last couple of years, but you were, to get Mylen, you were going through the ballet teacher in Venezuela. Is that how you're bringing in finding a lot of these kids?
Yes.
And helping them? Is the ballet teacher saying, hey, I've got somebody, I need to send them to you?
Many of them, yes. Others just come and they know about Vladimir Isayev, who is the director,
yes,
of the Arts Ballet Theater of Florida, and is very well known in Venezuela as a ballet teacher because he worked there at the Teresa Carreño for 10 years. And they know me too because of my father. My father was a very well-known musician in Venezuela, and they know there is a place to come and be safe. That's how I feel.
Do you know over the years how many different kids you've helped?
I was going through the list, let's say the mental list, and with the help of others, because when you do these things, you really don't make up a chart, you know? You just don't write it down.
Right.
You just do it because it comes from the bottom of your heart. And we calculated like 85 in the last kind of 10 years. And right now we have like 20 something in the school, like Venezuela.
But is it getting harder? Because as things are getting harder in Venezuela, more kids may want to get out.
It is hard. For some are harder than others. Some have the resources.
Yes.
So they come, they have no problems. The parents have the visa, working visa, so investors. So I don't know. They have different visas, but there are some that are just coming to ask for the asylum.
Right.
And that's when things get really rough. There are people that come, they come to the school, they want to be, you know, taking ballet classes, because the idea is from the parents, for what I hear, is I want her to have the same things she had in Venezuela so she doesn't feel the impact.
Right.
They want to protect them. So what happens is they want to continue in ballet, but the problem is that some are in some family member place, and that is probably in Weston or Doral, which is the most common for Venezuela, and we're in North Miami Beach.
Right. I'm speaking with Executive Director Ruby Romero Isaya from the Arts Ballet Theater of Florida, and one of her student teachers, Mylen Rodriguez. Both women are from Venezuela, and the company has given many displaced dancers scholarships and opportunities to build a career in dance, to build a life here in South Florida. Mylen, right now, you're waiting for your status to see how things turn out. As you know, the debate in Congress over temporary protected status for Venezuelans, and they're waiting to see if the Senate will vote on it. What's it like for you right now?
It's just, let's say, very frustrating, I guess. You just have to wait. There's no answer for you right now. You just have to wait and see what happens. I have friends that have been here for around 5 up to 8 years, and they still have not get any response. I'm just in my third year, so I'm just waiting to see, hope for the best.
Now, you're about to start college.
Yes.
And you're going to be up in Broward.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Having this situation with your status has been difficult because it also limits what you can do. You actually were going to go off to a college, you got a scholarship, and then what?
And then the last minute they said that they cannot do anything for me because of my status.
I mean, in those moments, how do you get yourself through all this?
Staying in ballet, I guess, teaching, talking with my family, my friends, just not going through it alone, I guess.
Ballet for you, it helped you get here. Where do you want it to take you? Where do you see ballet in your life as you continue?
Right now, I'm trying to start again because I got an injury last year, so I'm going back at it little by little. But I definitely want to keep it in my life forever if I can.
Are you teaching, you said?
Yes, I'm teaching for the little ones, the toddlers, and another level that it's between 2 years old to three, and the other one is from 3 up to maybe 5 years old.
So you're working actually at the ballet.
Yes.
And this is helping you pay for school.
Yes, correct. Over the next few years, probably I want to keep studying. I want to keep dancing as well. And I just want to keep working hard. I don't want to give up.
Ruby, you know, again, you see kids like this. You see young people going through these struggles. It's got to take a toll on them. The stress of going to school is already difficult. and now you're adding this on top of it. How are you working with them beyond just the dance, working with them to help them with these things?
It really feels very difficult when you hear them and when you see them crying. They're coming from the interview that they got scholarships, and then they said, you know what, forget about it. You're on your own. They are considered like an international student. Therefore, their tuition is more expensive. In Mylene's case, she was devastated.
Yeah.
And so we were all devastated because we know she's a good kid. She's a very good student, excellent grades. And then, boom, she's thinking that she's moving on. And no, there's a big stop sign in front of her that she wasn't expecting. So she was already teaching the babies in the school. So it happened that the person that was working at our front desk left. And I said, okay, then now you have a job. Now you're going to make money so you can pay for your college. So happy ending in for now while she waits. But we had other case like Claudia Suarez. That is super, super hard because this kid came really, really running away from horror because her father was involved in politics and things and, well, a bunch of stuff. But and they just came like, Mylene, can you take her? And we say, okay, yeah, sure, bring her. So we took her, but then again, they didn't have a place to live. It was only Claudia and her mom, no one else. Claudia, super smart, extremely smart. Yes. She did junior and senior year in 1 year and graduated cum laude. Tons of scholarships.
But the status situation.
Yeah, that was a stop sign. So she continued to dance. So I started to take her, because she knows how to write very nicely. So I started to take her to workshops where I was taking, like, for marketing or for grant writing or for things like that. And she started to learn and now she's a blogger for dance.
Yes.
But, you know, this is the type of things that we try to help a little bit in connection with ballet.
Mylene, do you still follow everything that's going on in Venezuela, or are you trying to distance yourself?
Both. Because I try to know what's going on, but at the same time, I cannot understand because things have got so, so much worse since I left. Every time that someone comes new and they tell me, listen, these are the prices, this is what's going on, that doesn't exist anymore. That's the people from that company left, or that store closed, or it's just everyone went through something really, really bad. Wow. My family, that it's still there, they almost, some days they cannot eat. It's not enough, or it's really bad, actually. It's bad.
Do you think you'll ever see a day where you can go back? Do you want to?
I don't know. Probably I'll want to go. But the thing is that the Venezuela that I knew is not there anymore. The people that I know are not living there. And the people that are still there, we don't know if I'm going to be able to see them again or my family. It's just, I don't know. I never got the chance to, like, know and experience that Venezuela that Ms. Ruby knew. I know a whole different Venezuela that she knows, but the one that I knew is not there anymore. Maybe I'll go back. I want to if things get better again, but it will be to visit. I don't think I'll be able to live there again.
A lot of people are waiting to see what happens.
Yes.
What are your dreams, Mylene? What are your dreams for your life?
As much as I can, I'm going to try to repay my mom and my dad for everything that they have done for me. That's my goal. I want to have enough to give them back all that they have given me.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful dream. Ruby, again, you're going to see many more people like Mylene.
Yes.
Hopefully things change, but how do you view the future?
It's hard because, you know, when you see these things happening, you just go back to to your history lessons. And you know what history says, you know, and there are other countries that went through the same thing and they're still in this situation, like Cuba. And it's hard to think that, but it's most probably going. And the situation is even worse now because there's so many interventions of other countries and drug and this and that. The stories that we hear from the people that come, it's horrible. And if I could see a future, I would like to see it beautifully, like the way Venezuela was when I left, or half of it, or maybe something. But it's so hard because you don't know people anymore. You don't know who they are anymore. You know, things change. Like Maylene said, everybody's gone, and your family's no longer there either. But every time some friends have their parents pass away or something, or their quinces, or, you know, things like that, there's no way to celebrate or to mourn because you don't have it. Everything you do is through a screen.
That was an amazing conversation that we had recently with Ruby Romero Isayev, Executive Director of the Arts Ballet Theater. And you heard from 18-year-old ballet dancer Maylene Rodriguez. And again, Maylene now starting classes this week. And it's really amazing that she shared her story and the struggles and the fact that she may never return to Venezuela, or at least not go back to live there. And I know there are a lot of people here waiting to find out if Congress is going to pass any form of TPS, any kind of protection for Venezuelans trying to escape the crisis back in their home country. And if you find yourself in a situation like Maylene is right now, we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. You can also email us. We'd love to hear from you because we want to find these stories. Email us, sundial at WLRNnews.org. I wish Maylene the best as she moves forward, and hopefully her and her family find some peace and that her dance continues. And again, you can read more of her story and see photos, by the way. Go to WLRN.org. Well, that's our program for this Monday, August 19th. Sundial is produced by Chris Remington and Alejandra Martinez. Lily Oppenheimer assisted in producing this week. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Afrontado is our digital director. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. And WLRN's program director is Jason Zapka. The man pushing all the buttons, our technical supervisor, is Peter J. Mertz. Well, coming up tomorrow on Sundial, thousands of families in South Florida are struggling to purchase the basic needs of their daily lives, especially one item, diapers. Diapers aren't covered by food stamps or by the special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children. And with hurricane season in full swing and the school year well underway, there's a push right now by a local nonprofit to get diapers to the families in need. Plus, there's a new exhibition at the Iris Photo Collective in Little Haiti. It's taking viewers into Cuba. The exhibition is entitled Cuba, Paradise Lost in Nostalgia, and it features award-winning photographers capturing the life and the experiences on the island nation. Miami Herald photographer Carl Joost explains to us the meaning of the Afro-Caribbean swag and, of course, how it led to the hustle that we know is life here in South Florida. Also talking about art exhibits, there's another great one in Key West. It's called The Restless Eye, The Visions of Olga Manosalvas. It's exploring the themes of loss and family through a collection of paintings. They are bold and colorful, and the use of many found objects go into the work by Ecuadorian painter Olga, who has collected over more than 40 years worth of experiences that you can check out there. We talked to her as well about the exhibit. Just a reminder, Sundial is going to be in Key West on Thursday for a live show. It's focused on marine life in South Florida. You're going to hear from marine experts, lawmakers, and advocates about the fight to save the coral reefs and the sea turtles. The event is free. It's open to the public. You can sign up. I'd love to see you there as we perform the show live. Go to WLRN.org to get your tickets to find out more. By the way, I think that morning they're going to be releasing a sea turtle, and we'll be there as well. That's going to be so cool. And I just got to remind you guys that we do have a Sundial Book Club where we're reading a book right now for the month of August. We're reading Mostly Dead Things by Kristen Arnett. The book follows the story of Jessa Lynn Marin. She's a taxidermist in Central Florida. You know, we talked to Kristen, the author of the book, last week, and, well, this is how she describes Jessa's character.
I was interested in creating a character who's dealing with obviously the trajectory of grief and what that looks like for the context of the narrative. But really, I was trying to make a character who's extremely controlling in every kind of aspect of her life. I wanted to write a character who not only wants to control her own emotions and her own sense of self, but also the sense of self and the emotions and the actions of everyone around her.
And that is author Kristen Arnett. Are you reading mostly dead things? We know some of you are because we've heard from our book club members like Anna Viciana Suarez. She said, I loved how she portrayed Florida. Very atmospheric. I was a little depressed at the end, though I'm not sure why, since it's not a sad ending. Shirley Smith Bergman, yesterday I finally got my library copy of Mostly Dead Things. An hour later, I listened to the interview with Kristen. I'm about 80 pages into a quite readable, quirky story. I mean, how often do you read about taxidermy? Arnett's protagonist is carrying around a lot of baggage, and I'm interested in finding out how she deals with it. And tell us what you think of the book. Remember, find us on Facebook. Join at Sundial Book Club on Facebook. It's free. We'd love to have you. Remember, find us at Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.